Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And we're here, 800-919-3776. So obviously the global pandemic going on right now is affecting every single person listening to this show, whether you're a doctor or someone that's working at home or just a listener or whatever the case may be. Let's bring you up to date on where we are, guys. Wimbledon has officially canceled the prestigious tournament over in England. They will not delay it. They will not postpone it. You're not going to see tennis on grass in August or September. You will not see Wimbledon this year. UEFA suspends the Champions League indefinitely. MLB cancels the Cubs-Cardinals series in London in June. And that's kind of, Chris, where we are in the canceling of world sporting events up to the moment.
Yeah, I think all of those moves would be deemed appropriate given what's going on globally with the pandemic. So I think it's the only responsible decision to make. You can't put athletes in harm's way. You can't put spectators of the sport in harm's way. So you're going to have to cancel them. And I get it. Some of these events have been longstanding. I mean, you're talking about Wimbledon. It hasn't been canceled since World War II. So, I mean, there's no way to move forward with those events that are supposed to happen in the next few weeks. So it's the only decision that you can possibly make.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, Wimbledon for you is a big one. I know
that's
that.
A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great tennis tournament. And you have to start to have the thought of, is the U.S. Open going to be played? I mean, the French has been postponed, so we don't know what's going to happen with that. Well, Wimbledon now will not take place. The Australian has already taken place, thankfully. And remember, that was under weird conditions with the fires, awful fires they were having over there in Australia. And then the U.S. Open is the finale. And that's what, late August, early September? I think you have to have concerns whether we're going to be able to play that one or not as well, Rick.
Yeah, well, I mean, and in reading some of the stuff with Wimbledon, I mean, obviously, the grass, you know, poses a bit of a problem. I mean,
sure.
If you postpone it, but also, I mean, the amount of people that travel in to watch Wimbledon, I mean, there's, with the travel restrictions and everything else, there's just, you're putting way too many, it's not just about the athletes. I mean, you're putting way too many people at risk to try to have one of these big giant events like that.
Absolutely. Because you're talking about, I mean, over the course of 2 weeks, you're probably talking about millions of people, right? With all the grounds of these tournaments that come in contact with each other. And I guess you could, but I can't envision of all sports Wimbledon being played in front of absolutely nobody. So I think it's the right move. But again, it's just one of those, this really sucks moments of what's going on right now.
But I think that's part of the reason why. And I guess, you know, the optics aren't great in, depending on how you want to see it, one way or the other. I think that's why the NFL has had the kind of stance that they've had, that we're going to go about our business and stick to our schedule. Just to kind of give you, I mean, say what you want. Free agency, I mean, it was a welcome distraction. The draft, it'll be a welcome distraction. And just to have some sort of light at the end of the tunnel, I mean, the fact that they're saying that the NFL season is going to go on as planned, I mean, it, to a certain degree, gives you a little bit of hope, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Rick. It gives you something to look forward to when you're in a time where nobody can tell you when the peak of this virus is going to happen, when this thing is going to wash over the country. I mean, we don't have anything definitive, but the one thing that we can point to and say there's a little bit of certainty with is the NFL season going on as scheduled when we start to get to September and on into the fall. So I think that's something that's a positive in terms of the overall psyche of the country, right? It gives you something that you're passionate about to look forward to in an uncertain time.
Now, MLB The Show, this is something to look forward to. MLB The Show 20 is finally here, and 98.7 ESPN has a chance to hit a home run. Batting, pitching, fielding, all been updated to show off your quick thinking and precision moves. And for the first time ever, full minor league rosters are in MLB The Show 20. For a chance to win your copy, text MLB Show to 44202. We'll select 10 winners on Monday, April 13th. Again, text MLB Show to 44202. MLB The Show 20. It's what your baseball dreams are made of. Welcome to the show, Reddit E for everyone. Get it now at theshow.com. So typically, an 800-919-3776, of course, involves you in our show. Typically, my sports life or my life revolves around sports, right? So it's March Madness into the start of baseball, into, you know, the draft and all these things. Now I'm like looking forward to different TV shows that are coming up. It's amazing the way my mind works, Rick. April 13th is the debut of that that new Bachelor series on ABC.
Yeah, you'll love it.
You think so?
I don't know. I haven't.
It's not the normal Bachelor.
It's not
show.
The normal one. No,
it's like a musical Bachelor or something.
Yeah, it's a spinoff. I mean, I'm all in for the Bachelor, so I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it. But to have your first, and this is not your first, but I mean, you're
no,
coming
I
back
used
into
to watch
it.
The show.
No, I know. I don't want you to be disappointed. I don't want to hype you up, and then you watch it, and it's not like what you're used to, and you get a little bit disappointed.
Well, I'm gonna watch it.
Well, I know you're gonna watch it.
I think it's only 6 episodes, so it's not like I'm investing hundreds of hours into this thing starting on April 13th.
But you still got the Tiger King you gotta watch.
I got it. I got Ozark. Ozark season 3.
You gotta watch that.
You gotta catch up. I got Narcos I have to watch.
Curb Your Enthusiasm you have to catch up.
Curb, I haven't seen any of the season.
Yeah, you got plenty of stuff to watch.
Oh, I have
you got plenty of stuff to get to.
And then April 19th. I can't wait for April 19th for that to start.
April 19th.
You talked about it yesterday, Dave.
The Jordan documentary, Dave.
Oh, the Jordan. Listen, I got a lot going on.
All right, I'm going to add to your list of things going on. Ready? Mm-hmm. I got me and Santi been working on this. So remember last week we played the game where I gave you three different, we did it with the free agency?
Yes.
You love it, you lust it, or you hate it?
Yes, yes.
I got Sounders for it now. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go, Santi. So you're going to either, you're going to want to marry it.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them. I love this team.
You're going to want to sexy time it. Bang! Bang! Or you hate it and you're going to want to kill it.
I was making an art.
Face dead.
The great thing about that soundbite from Don is he was so angry.
No, he was serious, yeah.
Like he at that very moment, he would have punched Peter right in the face.
If they were in the same, yeah, he would have punched him right square
right
in the face.
Yeah, Dave,
I don't know if there's any other way to interpret, I'm going to smack your face dead.
Well, no, but
pretty,
like,
pretty sure he was angry at him, yeah.
Like
I don't know how that
color,
would be.
Or just like, I'm joking with you. Like if he was standing next to him, I firmly believe that Don would have punched him right in the face.
I don't know, Dave. Can you say that in a joking manner? I'll smack your face dead. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
no, the way he said it.
Smack your face dead, I don't know.
Never mind the fact that you can hear the microphone violently shaking at the end of it.
I was making an art. Face dead.
It's so good.
Speaking of which, I thought Kay was gonna have one of those moments with Rosenberg yesterday. Kay show.
What happened? I didn't see it.
Got a little spicy in the 4 o'clock hour. Just saying.
Whose side did you take? Were you on?
Well, you know, I'm always rolling with the Kayster.
Even if Michael's so it's just a blind love that even if Michael's wrong in an argument, you would take his side over.
Yeah, you know, I typically lean toward Michael in most arguments, conversations, etc. Now, I will say this: Rosenberg did try to interject a little levity to the show, which he always does. That's his role. But Michael got a little irritated.
I like it.
I got to be honest, and this may be just me. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I mean, when we're finally in. Who knows when it's going to be, but when we're past this and we're back to some semblance of normalcy, I actually like having everyone on that show in a separate, like in their own
environment.
I love it because you never know what's going to happen. Like you can change what's in front of you. You'll have time. Like there'll be segments where Peter's just gone and then he shows back up.
I was telling someone the other day, I love the fact that you said that there was a segment where he was gone and he comes back and they're like, where were you? He's like, I was walking my dog. I mean, it's so great.
I love it. It's like unexpected. Like, I mean, listen, I'm just telling you right now, and I was thinking about this last night. If we were on TV the way they were and I was in my office, you were in your office and Canty was in his office, like I could only imagine, like there'd be segments where I would just show up. I would be dressed like, in one segment, I'd be dressed as the Tiger King. In the other segment, I would come back. I'd be dressed as one of the Tiger King's husbands with like the tattoos and everything else. You could do so many funny things that I can't do in the office.
Would you have a Carol Lewis blow up doll like the Tiger King did?
I could find Carol Baskin. I could find one of those. I mean, I could have fake tattoos drawn on me. I could do all sorts of funny things.
So you played the Sounders for you love it, you love it.
I got them.
You hate it. Are we doing them. That or is that just
yes? I have them. I have them right now.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know whether you wanted
well,
me
we have
to
no
hear
time
the
to
Sounders.
Do
Okay.
No, well, I want to get you guys geared up. I want you excited. Right. I want you to realize that Ray Santiago is locked in, dialed in, top of his game, coming up with Sounders. All right, here we go. This is for you two.
Yes, yes.
Okay, ready. This is for you two. Remember, you like it, you want to marry it.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them. I love this team.
Sexy time. And this one you just hate.
I was making an face dead.
All right, here we go.
Yes.
First topic for our game is landing spots for Cam Newton. You guys ready?
Cam, yeah.
Cam Newton. I got the Chargers. I got Miami. And I got New England.
All right. Chargers, Miami, New England. All right, I'll go first. Now, there's no order that we're going in, right? You don't have to go, I love it, I want to marry it, and I detest it. You can just go wherever you'd like?
Wherever you like.
Okay. I'd like to go to the Don Sounder, and I would like to incorporate that with Miami. Yeah, that's right. Because I think that Cam Newton, when healthy, is probably still very good. And I think Cam Newton, when healthy on Miami, probably doesn't make them a great football team. But Cam Newton on New England is scary. And Cam Newton on the Chargers, who I think are probably a good quarterback away from being an excellent team, is scary as well. So the one that doesn't really fit, the one that I like to play, the Don, and let's play it again because it's so entertaining, would be Miami for me, is the one I do not like.
I think Dave just let us know he's a hater by nature by starting with the hate aspect first and then working backwards. I'm more of a lover, so I'm going to start with the marry, and I'm going to marry Cam Newton with the L.A. Chargers.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them. I love this team.
Absolutely right. There's something special about Cam Newton. It feels like he belongs in L.A. and with a team that's ready to win now and a team that, you know, might not necessarily have the quarterback of their choosing in this upcoming draft. It just feels like Cam Newton would be a solid bridge until they can figure out what their quarterback situation is going to be. I think Cam Newton with Bill Belichick would be sexy because I could only imagine the ways that Belichick would use Cam Newton in that offense. So I think that would be pretty special. And then I'm in agreement with Dave about Cam to Miami. I hate it. They pushed the reset button last year. New GM, new head coach. And then they're going into year two of that tenure. I think they're trying to find their franchise quarterback. Cam Newton is not the guy.
I was making an argument.
How come the one that I say about loving the Giants, it sounds like I have an accent?
Well, because there's so much passion.
Yeah, but it sounds like I'm from Europe. Santiago, play
well,
that
that's it's more romantic.
It's not altered. It's you.
If it that's was socially acceptable, I would marry them. I love this team.
If it's socially acceptable, I'd marry them. I sound like something's wrong.
I like it.
It sounds the language like, it sounds of love, like I'm drinking tea with my pinky out, though.
Maybe you are.
Play one more time.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them. I love this team.
If it's socially acceptable. I mean, you never told me that I sound like something's wrong. You guys, you all the time. I'll be honest with you. You guys have never told me that I sound like I'm European.
Well, like Stewie
Griffin?
You
don't usually. I mean, you don't usually. I mean, that was a little bit
in that moment.
If it's socially just in that moment. You just have so much passion.
You lost yourself for a second. It's okay.
That's why we're using it.
It's socially acceptable. What's the matter with me?
Had a little Dr. Evil in it.
It's bizarre is what it is. All right. I'm going to go with my socially acceptable marriage to New England because I think the best of Cam Newton coupled with that defense, coupled with Bill Belichick, gives the potential to be an excellent team. So if it was socially acceptable, that would be the one that I would marry.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them. I love this team.
And that leaves the Chargers for the Mike Breen version of the Bang Bang.
Bang!
Yeah. So I would go marry would be New England.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them. I love this team.
Marry them. The affair would be with the Chargers and the I do not like it all is with the Miami Dolphins.
I was making an face dead.
I would love to have that Breen sounder in my bedroom.
Put it on a loop.
Yeah, just I would love it. wife would walk in like, here we go again. All right, this next one's going to be more difficult, just so you guys know. This is the Jameis Winston landing spots. You ready for these?
Yeah.
Ready.
I got Pittsburgh. I mean, he's pretty much the black version of Roethlisberger, let's be honest. New Orleans. Green Bay.
Now, Chris, this is more difficult. You take the lead with this one.
I'm going to marry him with Pittsburgh.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them. I love this team.
I just think that that's the ideal landing spot, having an opportunity to learn behind Ben Roethlisberger for a couple of years, but more importantly, to have the stability that the Steelers organization offers. I mean, you're talking about three head coaches in the last half century, and Kevin Colbert is in lockstep with Mike Tomlin. So I feel like that would be the ideal situation for Jameis long-term, so I'm going to marry him to that team.
Why do you sound so disappointed?
Because I knew he was going to go with Pittsburgh.
Because this is a smart answer.
I know it's a smart answer. I tried to sneak in a little bit of a wrinkle. I thought I could get him to bite on it, but he didn't.
You think that we're going to fall for the old hidden ball trick? Come on.
No, this is not Henry Rowan Gardner. I don't think you're going to fall for that, but I just thought that maybe I could tease you with a little bit of New Orleans a little bit. Just tease you just a bit with New Orleans.
No, you can't. I'm also going to marry, like a beautiful five-star affair. I mean, talking about rose petals and a ceremony and the whole thing. I'm gonna marry Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them. I love this team.
How is it predictable? It's the prudent, smart answer.
I know it is. I know it is. I don't disagree with you. I just thought I could get you to bite. All right, what do you, Canty? What are you going to? So you're marrying Pittsburgh. What are you going to have a spicy affair with?
I like Jameis having the affair with Sean Payton down in New Orleans.
Nice.
If anybody can get the most out of his abilities, it would be Payton. And I think Jameis needs to be with somebody that's an established head coach, somebody that's been around for a while, somebody that's innovative. I like Sean Payton for all of those reasons. I like Jameis Winston working with Sean Payton. Try to see if he can get up to live up to his first overall pick status.
Don't they need a backup quarterback? Don't they need a backup quarterback? New Orleans?
Yeah, Taysom Hill.
They have Taysom
Hill. But Sean Payton was on yesterday and he was saying how they're going to use Taysom Hill. You can't use Taysom Hill on special teams in the backfield if he's going to be a backup quarterback every game, can you?
You can't send him out to block punts and then say, all right, you're our quarterback.
Did you see what Sean Payton did accidentally yesterday? Did you hear that?
What did he do?
Well, he accidentally, I don't know if he did it on accident, but he insinuated this is going to be Drew Brees' last year.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Said Drew Brees, he goes, we have a unique situation where Drew Brees signed up for his final year. He's retiring him.
I don't think that comes as much as a surprise to anybody though, right?
No, but that's why I thought that Jameis Winston in New Orleans kind of would be an interesting fit.
Yeah, it's an illicit affair, like a steamy hot, like a Jacqueline Collins novel kind of affair. Have I gone too far?
A little bit.
That would be my illicit affair as well, because I think that Sean Payton, and you know what else I like? I like the indoor facility. I like a lot of dome games because to me, multiple reasons. Firstly, Aaron Rodgers, I don't want any quarterback trying to make his mark in the NFL working behind Aaron Rodgers. I think he has the potential to be very difficult, so I don't like that. And then Green Bay is a miserable, just weather-wise, place to play, so I agree. Chris and I are lockstep on this one. I go Pittsburgh is the beautiful five-star wedding. New Orleans is the hot, steamy affair. And Green Bay is the one I have no interest in.
I was making an argument. Face dead.
Yeah, I figured you guys would do that. I figured you guys would both go Pittsburgh, but I tried.
Okay.
I like the answers. I think they were good answers.
I think our analysis and logic is, I mean, out of this world, to be honest.
No, it's spot on. The only reason that I would maybe potentially shy away from Pittsburgh is I would rather, if I was Jameis Winston, I mean, my first choice would be I would play for Bill Belichick for free. Like, whatever, like, give me minimum. I'll try to win the starting job. But Jameis Winston with the whole eating the W's and everything else, like, clearly he wants to be a leader. And what better quarterback to learn from how to be a leader of your team than would be Drew Brees? That's why I like that fit.
So you would go with that? That'd be the one you'd marry?
Well, I don't think Ben's a great leader. I mean, they've kind of had both. They both of them kind of had the same kind of problems, haven't they?
Yeah, but the Steelers have had a lot of success with Ben Roethlisberger as their quarterback. They won two Super Bowls together.
No, I know. I just think, I mean, if Ben's elbow was right, he doesn't, I mean, he's a bit of a drama queen, but he doesn't usually get hurt. The fact that Sean Payton said that Drew Brees only has a year left, I don't know. Maybe have the opportunity to stay down there, maybe.
Well, here's the thing, Rick. We don't know where Roethlisberger is going to be at. I know you said if, but I mean, how often do we see quarterbacks at this advanced age coming off of this type of injury have success?
Not normally. You don't.
Yeah. So.
I guess, I mean, if it was me and I was Cam Newton and I was Jameis Winston, what it come down to me is I would probably look for the teams that's quarterbacks are most likely to be hurt. Like that have a long history of having injuries during the season.
I guess, because
if I could sign in Philadelphia, if that was an option, I would consider it.
I actually like that a lot.
You know what I mean? Winston
has a backup in Philly?
Yeah, I don't want any part of that. Cause he's talented. And God forbid he actually puts it all together. See, if I was a Bucks fan, like your father-in-law, the only reason I wouldn't be terrified right now is because I got Brady. But I'd be nervous that this guy goes somewhere else and can figure it out somehow.
Yeah, but they've had 5 years. I mean, I would agree with you, but he's frustrated them to a point where it's like they've just seen enough.
I think I would feel the way you feel, Dave. I would feel the way you feel if I was a Saints fan. Because I don't know how much Drew Brees has left in the tank. And you just let the guy that was going to be your heir apparent walk out of the door in free agency in Teddy Bridgewater, a guy you saw start and win 5 games for you during the regular season.
Yep.
That would bother me.
All right. Everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Here's what you do. You wash your hands. You avoid close contact with people who are sick. You avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or your sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. By the way, we did not discuss it highly enough yesterday. The man dressed as a shrub running through the streets of England. I'm not kidding. It's one of the great pieces of video in the history of anybody doing anything. The guy, he acts like he's almost in war as a shrub, like diving around.
The barrel roll was classic, Dave. The barrel roll was classic.
But you agree with me, Chris, right? Like it was underplayed. As much as we discussed yesterday, it was still underplayed with how amazing it was.
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising because Rico brought this story to our attention and he really didn't do it justice, Dave.
Like, it's hard to do justice to that. Like, you can't even see a shred of anything with him. It's all shrubbery, and then he's diving down and he's doing rolls and for what I still don't understand is why. Like, what is his massive point here, Rick? He's out. He's diving. He's rolling. He's jumping into other bushes. What's the ultimate goal?
Well, I think to be funny. I think he's mocking. I mean, it's almost like he's mocking the mandate to stay in your house. Like they're locked down; they're not supposed to be out of their houses. And he decided that I'm not going to just sneak around as a shrub. I'm going to battle roll and everything else. I'm going to be a shrub ninja.
Think about the effort that he put in to make that costume. Though you're talking about a ghillie suit that looks like a shrub.
I mean, he really like he looks like a shrub. Now here's what his next trick should be: when social distance and all that is out the window. Sit there on the side of the road next to the other shrubs, and when people walk by, just pop out.
That's not good. But why? To scare people?
Because
that's terrible.
People.
Give someone a heart attack.
How good would it be? People would fall over.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I mean, you'd probably get punched in the face at some point.
But maybe he's a large shrub. I don't know. I mean, he could be a huge guy.
I don't know. Regardless if you're a huge guy or not, like if you scare the wrong person and the person's natural instinct isn't to back up and be like his natural instinct is to like just attack.
I'm not more fight than flight.
Exactly
yeah,
right.
A problem.
That's
if
what scares
you put
me.
That like, on when, a, if you put that on a loop of just that guy going next to other shrubbery and when people walked by popping out and scaring them, I would watch it forever.
Well, of course you would. But they do that on ESPN, right? You see it all the time where they're like, they'll be inside like a, the Alabama or whatever locker room it is, and they have one of the guys dressed up as the football player because they have the uniform, you know what I mean? And then he jumps out and scares his teammates. What if, God forbid, one of your teammates, it's a fight guy. He's not a flight guy. And he just decides to just sock you right in the face.
I think it's going to end badly for you. I think that's what ends up happening.
I ain't dressing up no shrub.
You're probably right, but it would still be very entertaining. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go. The bedroom, the laundry room, the bathroom, the den, the living room, the dining room, anywhere in your house. Or if you go for those very socially safe, socially distant long walks, just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Let's go to Blaze in Manhasset. I like the name Blaze. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I want to talk about some possible rule changes in football and in baseball.
Go ahead.
So in football, I'd like to see them get rid of half the distance to the goal. So let's say you're on offense and you're offsides. Instead of moving the ball back 2 yards, move the sticks forward 5 yards so you still have a first and 15 instead of a first and 10. And then in baseball, I'd like them to see have a fixed strike zone from everybody, say from about 18 inches off the ground to about 48 inches off the ground. That way somebody like Altuve, who's what, all of 4'3", doesn't have a microscopic strike zone, whereas somebody like Judge has a strike zone that's like almost impossible to cover.
Yeah, I disagree with that one. I think the strike zone should be the strike zone should be your own strike zone. I mean, that would be the one thing. If I went to automate the strike zone with without umpires, I would. I mean, because you're right. I mean, Judge does get screwed on a regular basis, but I mean, there has to be a way where you can. I mean, each player would have their own individual strike zone.
Right? I do like his NFL rule, and you know who's had this rule and has brought it up for years is our NFL insider John Winthrop, where. I'm serious. He's brought this up for years. Our assistant program director, who has his finger on the pulse of the NFL, he's always said, instead of moving back, you're at the one, so you get a half the distance, you go back half a yard. That's really not much of a penalty. But if now first and 10, the chains get extended 5 yards, I like that.
Well, I think what it's about is pushing them further away from the goal line where they're trying to get to ultimately. I think that's what it's about. I know it's a marginal penalty, but I mean, it's still pushing them back.
No, I mean, it does push him back, but I just think there's more of a penalty. Like, is it a bigger penalty? Is it a more costly penalty if you go from the 2 to the 1 or from the 2 and now instead of having to get to the 12, you have to get to the 17?
I don't know, Dave. I don't know. I think pushing them further away from being able to score points is the ultimate goal. I mean, as a defender, that's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The further they got to go to score points, the better off we're going to be.
And then last night, I'm watching the Super Bowl, of course, your Super Bowl, Super Bowl 46. I had this diabolical idea. You remember when you guys had too many men on the field on the second to last play of the game?
I don't remember that.
Okay, so there was, and I'm making it, like 12 seconds left, Brady rolls right, throws deep down the right side, it's batted away, and they gain 5 yards and they lose like 8 or 9 seconds. Couldn't you in theory, and maybe you can, maybe you'd get a personal foul or something would happen, couldn't you in theory, with 13 seconds left on the clock and the teams at their own, say, 30-yard line, put 14 guys on the field on defense and just say, they'll run the play, 8 seconds will run off, we'll give the 5 yards on the penalty, and there's no chance that they're going to pick up a big play?
What do you mean there's no chance that they pick up a big play? I mean, what if Tom Brady realizes that there's 14 men on the field and takes a shot down the field and
that's where your problem is.
Interference.
But that could happen regardless. But now I have extra defenders on the field. I'm only giving up the 5 yards.
No, that's fine. I mean, I guess you could take that risk. I mean, you could run that risk. I mean, maybe, I mean.
That situation, does it really matter when they got a score and you're talking about less than 10 seconds to go in the game?
No, probably not. Okay. But there's no way they're going to score if I have 14 or 15 or 17 guys. Like, I might as well put 18 guys on the field, right? I'm giving up 5 yards.
No, but I don't think they'll allow you to have the play, Dave, not based on the rules that they currently have in place.
So if I have 18 guys on the field, the play is blown dead?
Yeah, they're not going to let the ball be snapped. It's illegal substitution on the defense or illegal formation, whatever it is now.
Can I but 12 gets done? Can I put 13 guys on the field?
Dave, if you have more than 11 guys on the field, if the referee can catch it in time, they're not going to let the play go off.
So you have to like sneakily just have the 12th or 13th guy on the field.
Yeah, you're getting crazy. Maybe you dress him up as a shrub.
They changed the rule for player safety. Remember Aaron Rodgers used to catch guys all the time, substituting and snap the ball. And,
yep.
Yeah, they don't let him do that anymore. They don't let that happen.
Come on, Dave.
I thought I found a whole loophole in the system. All right.
This is what happens when you listen to Winthrop too much.
He's an NFL insider.
Well, here's the other thing, though,
you have Schefter. He's got Graziano. I got Winthrop.
But the other thing, too, as far as the half the distance to the goal thing, too, you're also moving the defensive team closer to scoring as far as the safety is concerned, but also field position.
100%.
You're going to pin their punter, and you're going to change the field position or potentially block the punt.
But let me ask you, would you rather have first and
– or have Dan Orlovsky step out of the end zone?
First and 11
wow.
from the one.
Shots fired.
First and 11 from the one or first and 15 from the two?
What would I rather have?
If you're the defense, what would you rather have?
You probably want the first and 15 from the two.
Yeah.
Not me.
I would agree with that.
Not me.
Can't he be going safety time?
Because when you look at the odds of them getting out of that situation are slim to none. When you have, you know, at the 1 yard line, at the 2 yard line, like that, the odds of them being able to get off of their goal line, to me, that's the penalty.
All right, let's get into it. We've waited all day. It's finally here. You know what time it is.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Snob Servation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. I want to thank our very own Christopher Canty, Super Bowl champ Christopher Canty. Chris, thank you for that Super Bowl, by the way.
My man. No, you're a Jets fan. It's okay to be appreciative.
He did send me this first story for an observations. And I'll ask him if it happened in Florida just to make him feel good.
No, he can't play did it happen in Florida.
I'm not going to answer it, Dave.
Okay.
Here we go. Ready for this, David?
Mm-hmm. 9-1 of my last 10 Florida stories, by the way.
Yeah, you are. A man was arrested Sunday after leading troopers on a high-speed chase. Man hit two cars on separate occasions and failed to stop both times, leading state troopers on a high-speed chase, getting up to, at a certain point, 109 miles an hour. You're probably asking yourself right now, well, why is this an observation? Why is this funny, weird, interesting story?
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why, Dave. Because when officers pulled up to the car to try to pull it over during this high-speed chase, they noticed that it wasn't the man driving the car in the driver's seat. It was his pit bull.
Come on.
Pit bull in the driver's seat. Suspect.
Not Rick's friend pit bull, by the way. Not Rick's friend pit bull.
No, not Stevie. It was the actual dog pit bull, and the man was steering it. Pit bull in the driver's seat. Man sitting next to him steering it.
wait, who was working the pedals?
He was.
So he's
obviously not working the brake. I mean, he's working the gas and steering the car. And then he actually told police officers, when officer actually says, I wish I could make this up, when he, during the arrest, the suspect gave them one explanation that he was trying to teach his dog how to drive.
Well, it's hard to argue with that. Clearly he was.
He's not lying.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. That might be right beneath the shrub, the shrub man. I mean, that's an incredible story.
It's close. Yeah, that's a close second.
Teaching the, I was, officer, I was merely teaching the pit bull how to drive. All right, so you're going to ask, is that Florida?
Is that Florida? I mean, dog did just turn in dog years, just turned 16, has his permit. So I mean,
you think the dog is terrified or the dog has no idea what's going on?
I think the dog probably has no idea. I mean, do you think the dog would know that he was actually driving the car? I mean, usually when I used to take my, I mean, when I took Roxy in the car, you open the window, she just loved having her head out the window.
Yeah, but that's appropriate for a dog to put their head out the window, not to drive the car. And at 109.
No, maybe the dog was, maybe the dog had already, she's like, enough. I'm sick of sticking my head out the window. Why don't you
that's
stick
right.
your
I need something more.
I'll drive.
Right.
I'll drive. You stick your head out the window.
That's right. and I don't want to be going 53. All right, pal. I need a, we got to be going triple digits at a minimum.
I got places to be.
That's right. Got a whole bunch of McDonald's I got to eat here. All right. I'm going to say that's not Florida.
Ooh,
that feels like it's a Northeast kind of story now.
Eef.
Yeah, because the Northeast and Florida feel like they're morphing together.
Yeah, they're merging. They are merging. Canty, would you like to get one right? Did this happen in Florida?
I am going to abstain from this because I already know.
How about Santiago? Santiago, did this happen in Florida?
I'm going to follow the rule of Florida. If it's zany and you can't imagine it, it has to be Florida. I'm going Florida.
You are incorrect, my friend. That happened in Lakewood, Washington. Washington State. Yes, sir.
I was off with the area, but still, another one correct.
A lot of strange things going on in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I felt like Texas was the, if it didn't happen in Florida, Texas is your go-to, but now I feel like the Pacific Northwest is very involved in this.
Very strange.
I think everywhere seems to be going a little bit nutty at the moment. Here we go. Here's another one. This isn't a did this happen in Florida. This is just a story, period. So apparently, Ray Dinahan sent me this story. In Turkmenistan, Dave, any idea, I mean, Stump Rothenberg, where Turkmenistan is?
I believe it's near Russia.
Canty, would you like to guess where Turkmenistan is?
In Kajikistan.
It's Turkmenistan is bordered to the south by
Uzbekistan, right?
Yeah, Iran. Also borders Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Afghanistan. So what they've done in Turkmenistan is they have outlawed the use of the word coronavirus. You cannot say it.
What do you say?
You need to say illness. They've gotten to the point now where they're actually, they've empowered police to detain anyone that says it. They also have undercover special agents that eavesdrop on public conversations to make sure no one mentions coronavirus.
And have they said why you're not allowed to say coronavirus?
Well, because they have actually, Iran has been one of the epicenters of the pandemic. So Turkmenistan is one of the few nations that have no confirmed cases of the virus.
Wow. So they think by saying the word coronavirus, it will now infiltrate the region?
Well, I guess there's suspicion. So they can only say illness or acute respiratory disease. So in the article, it says that they're one of the few nations reporting no confirmed cases, claims that are treated with suspicion by health experts outside of the notoriously secretive closed country.
So do you think that we're so affected so negatively because we've been saying coronavirus?
No, the article almost makes it feel like the reason they don't want anyone to say it is because they don't want to let anyone know if there's anyone in the country that actually has it.
Hmm.
I mean, they're surrounded by, you're talking about Iran has reported more than 44,000 infections. And then, and the other countries that surround it also have hundreds of different cases. And this is the only one, this is the country that doesn't.
Yeah, very strange.
Seems a little bit suspicious.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, I'm going to cancel my summer trip to Turkmenistan.
I still don't understand. Do they feel like this is like Candyman rules? If you don't say the name, it won't show up? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's almost like when you close your eyes and go, I'm invisible.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right.
It never really works. Okay. Here's another interesting little nugget. U.S. sales of alcoholic beverages have risen 55% in the week ending on March 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this? Spirits have jumped 75% compared to the same period last year. Wine and beer. Wine sales are up 66%. Beer sales. Oh, God. I can't even speak right now. Beer sales are up 42%. And how about this one? National online sales of alcoholic beverages.
Got to be up 240%.
243%.
Yeah.
243%.
Now, Rick, is there any correlation with the liquor sales being up to the divorce rate going up?
I would probably say there's probably a direct correlation, yeah. I'm telling you right now, this is not easy for anyone. You got to try to find some kind of routine. I've noticed that having like some kind of preset routine each day helps.
Yep. Dinner at a similar time, showering every day, some kind of physical activity. 100%.
Hold on. Did you say showering every day?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that a given under any circumstances?
But when you're out and about, of course you're going to shower. When you're locked in the home and you're probably doing nothing, I bet you a lot of people aren't showering.
I'm hearing stories that you'd be surprised at the amount of people that are just not showering because they're not going outside.
Yeah, they don't go outside. They're not exerting any energy. And
I'm a need for folks out there to wash their ass once a day, at least. That's a minimum.
All right, that's a PSA from us here. And that was another lovely, wonderful edition of Nobservations. When we pop on tomorrow, guys, we will be exactly 3 weeks out from the NFL draft. Anything that, like, fresh new information is going to be very, very welcome. And that's as good as it gets when we have full sports. So being 3 weeks away from the draft is, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Dave, you dropped a little mini bomb at the end of yesterday's show, didn't you? With the Miami Dolphins potentially being interested in trading up for Joe Burrow?
Yeah, that's what Armando Salguero had reported down in Miami, is that the Dolphins want to make a real play for Joe Burrow, which I say if you're Miami, you got the equity, clearly we know that they do, and you love them. Yeah, I think that would be a great move for Miami.
But looking at it from the other side, if you were the Cincinnati Bengals, would you entertain that?
I guess it would be, how much do I love Joe Burrow? If I'm Cincinnati, and remember, he's an Ohio kid. If I love Burrow and think he's going to be a star quarterback under any circumstance, I would not do it. But if I think he's good and I like him and I can get three ones for him, yeah, I think realistically I would probably consider it.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.